The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
What is up, everybody? I'm Najee Adams, and you are listening to the Hoop Ball Nets podcast. I am back with another episode today. Hunter could not make it, but he will be on the next episode, so you're kind of stuck with me this episode, but we're going to have a good little time, even without Hunty boy. We got a good little bit to talk about. Definitely want to talk about the Nets loss to the Lakers, Kyrie being ejected, their Timberwolves game being postponed, and then the game against the Timberwolves as well. But before we get into all that, make sure you guys subscribe to the Hoopball Nets podcast on Apple Podcasts. Download the pod on Spotify. Leave that rating and review, because all reviews will get read on the pod. And if you can follow us on Twitter at Hoopball Nets, you can find me on Twitter at Najee_Adams. And we actually do have a few reviews to read. I don't remember the last time I read the reviews, to be honest. So if I read this one before, then I am so sorry. But, you know, you're getting your props again, because we appreciate you. So I think I have four new reviews to read. The first coming from someone whose name I can't announce on the pod, but we appreciate it regardless. It says, best form of nerd quirk. It's only a 4-star, but, you know, we rock with that anyway. It says, the guys clearly love the team, but don't oversell anything. I enjoy their takes immensely. Wish they had the wherewithal to go daily. That's honestly our biggest struggle when it comes to podcasting, like having a consistent schedule. I don't know why we struggle with this so much, but it is 100% our biggest struggle. And I'm with you, my boy. I'm with you, my guy. I wish we could go daily, too. The next one comes from the ISO, and it's actually a 2-star. And so I read all the good reviews, so what kind of person would I be to not read the bad ones? Like I always say, I appreciate everything that you guys write, whether it's love or constructive criticism. So, you know, I got to read this one as well. So it's a 2-star. It says, and honestly, it's a 2-star because of me. So I got to just take the hit. He said, at first, I was pleasantly surprised when I ran across his podcast. Appreciate that, bro. Then they did a fantasy all-star draft. Najee had the nerve to say B.O. was better than Kyrie on a Nets podcast. Not that that matters. That terrible take makes me wonder if he even watches basketball or if he just looks at box scores. Even if you dislike Kyrie and his wokeness/antics, I guess he means wokeness, but wokeness/antics, nobody has ever believed inflated stats. Beal is better than Kyrie. He does nothing better offensively than Kyrie, and Beal no longer plays defense like that since he's taken on the brunt of the scoring load. But anyway, the podcast seems well produced. I'll give it 2 stars instead of 1. Appreciate that, my boy. I basically produced the podcast, so I will accept the love. I don't even really have much to say on that. I will pull my take back. I think Kyrie's better than Beal, but you know, it doesn't, just a little bit of back end on the show. Like when me and Hunter like argue, those argues are 100% organic. So like a lot of the time, like I just want to give an opposing take. So like if he says Kyrie's better, then I'm going to go ahead and say Bill's better, just to make the argument for someone who would think Bill's better, just so the show isn't just us saying, yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you too. And so sometimes those takes cause people to get upset, which I 100% understand. People ride behind their takes, as you should. And so nah, I completely get it, bro. Whether you're a Nets fan or a Wizards fan or just a fan of basketball, I get why you'd be so upset. I'm with you though, my boy. I apologize. Kyrie's better than Beal. And hopefully I can get you to change your view in the future. If not, though, appreciate it regardless. The next one comes from Janetter Fan. It just says, Najee and Hunter are balling, 5 stars. The comment is just good energy. Appreciate that. And then last but least, this was left on April 1st by Doug MF1. I feel like you've definitely left a review before. I'm 100% sure you have. And so they just updated it. Great job breaking down the trade deadline and buyout market. I'm looking forward to hearing your insight as the Nets roll into the playoffs and chase that chip. We are too. Right now, it's just me, but I speak for myself and Hunter when I said that we are very excited to get back to talking Nets playoff basketball, especially now that they have a chance to actually go all the way. It would be sick to be covering like the finals and a Nets versus Lakers series, and like all things seem to be heading to that collision. So if we actually do end up getting there and both teams take care of business and get to the finals, then I'm super excited to cover that. And yeah, that's basically all the reviews. But before we get into Nets versus Lakers, I have to give a huge shout out to my guys over at mybookie.ag. Ever since myself and Hunter actually started this podcast, people have been asking us for betting tips. We always get asked, who you got, Lakers or Clippers, Bucks or Nets, Celtics or Wizards, stuff like that. Rodgers or Mahomes even, when we were back in football season. And I'll tell you what I tell them, where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. MyBookie's rep is rock solid, and they've got the best odds, contests, and promotions in the business. They're the only place I trust to handle my NBA related bets. And you know me, and you know that I don't give out my stamp of approval easily. To earn it, you got to be the best at what you do, and MyBookie is the best sports book out there, period. It's simple. You sign up, enter promo code HOOPBALL, and get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. So basically, you're getting free money. I'm telling you, that's crazy. Free money? Who does not love that? You put down $500, you put in code HOOPBALL, MyBookie will give you half of that. So $250, you got $750 to work with now, and all you did was put down $500. You got to take that deal. Like I said, enter code HOOPBALL and get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. Head over to MyBookie if you want to add an extra little bit of excitement to the sports you love and the game. You bet with the best, bet with my bookie. And with that, let's get into this Lakers game. This was a nationally televised game heading into the season. This would be a battle of the all-stars with Kyrie, KD, LeBron, AD, Dennis Schroeder, even now Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge, James Harden. But you know, turns out that LeBron and AD are both out, and so all we had to work with was Kyrie and KD on a minutes restriction. The Nets and the Lakers are honestly keeping it pretty close in the beginning of this game. The Lakers were ahead 66-62 when Kyrie and Schroeder both got bounced with about 9 minutes left in the third. Then the Lakers just kind of blew the game wide open. They went on a 15-2 run to take the lead, 88-71, and they outscored the Nets 31-19 in that third quarter, and then 34-24 in the fourth. So the Nets could really never just recover from that 15-2 run. What I think about the Kyrie ejection, it's come out that he got upset with Dennis Schroeder because Dennis Schroeder called him the N-word and Kyrie took offense to that. Myself, I am black. I'm not going to sit here and lie. I say the N-word when I'm talking to my friends, my family, all that. It's kind of like a saying of endearment, like a greeting, like when I'm talking to my friends and all of that. So, but I also understand why Kyrie would say that, because it can be a word that has a lot of meaning behind it for a lot of different people. And if Kyrie only wants people that he's close to calling him that, then you can't really blame him for that. Like, I've seen like Shannon Sharp kind of on and like Skip knows to stay far away from anything that has to do with that. But like Shannon Sharp kind of saying like it's weird that Kyrie doesn't want to be called the N-word, even though he said it before. He's well within his right to say it. He is a black man, and I just feel like it's up to him who he wants saying it to him. You know, like I said, that word means a lot of things to a lot of different people, and it also carries a lot of pain behind it, depending on who's saying it. So if Kyrie doesn't want Dennis Schroeder saying it to him, then he's well within his right to not want that. And I don't think he blew it out of proportion. I think he kind of blew out of proportion in the beginning of it before he called him the N-word. Like, I think he could have just, like, dropped it, but Kyrie had already been having a rough night, and just from there, things just kind of snowballed. So Kyrie gets ejected. Dennis Schroeder apparently waves goodbye. I haven't seen it on film or, like, on tape or anything, but the refs say he waved goodbye. They bounced him for that. And then, just like that, the Nets are without Kyrie and the Lakers are without Dennis Schroeder. I feel like the Nets were just kind of caught way off guard once Kyrie got ejected. I feel like they would have been more equipped to handle a KD ejection, if that makes sense. Like, if KD would have been the one to get ejected, I think the Nets still could have battled back just because they were without a primary playmaker whatsoever. Like, KD had 8 turnovers. He's still getting his legs back under him. The Nets have had Kyrie or Harden or the two of them in most of their games leading up to this game. So to just lose one flat out, to lose both of them flat out, obviously took a toll on them. I say they would have been better equipped to handle losing KD because they've become accustomed to playing without him over these past like 2.5 months, not having KD. So, you know, they kind of just fall back into that rhythm. K's out again, you know, we're just going to play like how we've been playing, but losing Kyrie and not having Harden to kind of take over that primary playmaking duty really took a toll on them. And I think that obviously when you lose someone of that caliber of a player of Kyrie, like, you're not just going to be able to make up that production, especially on the fly like that, not coming into the game knowing he's not going to be playing. So I just think they just kind of got caught off guard. KD came out, said they got punched in the mouth, and they just couldn't, you know, reciprocate. And like, I agree, I think that the Lakers just kind of had more hunger, had more fight after the game. Dennis Schroeder said it was their best win of the season, and you know, I think the Lakers, this meant more to the Lakers than it did to the Nets, which is fine. They had been reeling. They don't have two of their two best players, really, and they're fighting to not be in the play-in tournament, whereas the Nets really aren't in any danger of dropping down to make it into that play-in tournament. So the Lakers needed this win way more than the Nets did. The Nets, like I said, were not equipped to handle Kyrie going out. KD was on a minutes restriction. Just looking at the box score, Markieff Morris had 20 points. Andre Drummond was kind of the story of this one. He had 20 and 11 on 8 of 15 shooting in just 22 minutes. He kind of just dominated LaMarcus Aldridge, which can be understandable. LaMarcus Aldridge is 6'11". He's 35 years old. He's 250 pounds. Andre Drummond is 6'10". He's 27 years old, almost 10 years, almost a decade younger than LaMarcus Aldridge, and he's 280 pounds. And you might think 30 pounds doesn't sound like that much, but I'm guessing, like, I'm 150 pounds. If I'm taking an elbow to the chest or just having to take a bodying from someone that's 180 pounds, I'm feeling that. I don't know about y'all. Y'all might be some muscle men, muscle women listening to this podcast, but I can assure you I am not. So if I'm taking a 180 pound man into straight up my chest, I know that that's going to hurt. That's going to sting. So I don't blame Andre Drummond. I mean, I don't blame LaMarcus Aldridge for getting cooked. And like the Lakers were very clearly trying to impose the whole, like, oh, too small, too little. You saw Andre Drummond make that gesture multiple times throughout the game. And I think that is a matchup problem for the Nets when it comes to the Lakers. They're a big team. That's how they won the chip last year, being bigger, being stronger than everyone else. They also have probably the best small ball lineup in basketball because AD is probably the best small ball five you can have. I mean, unless you're putting KD at this five in small ball, in which obviously he's the best small ball five you can have. But just in terms of like defensive versatility and on the offensive end, I think AD is probably the best small ball five you can have. LeBron's probably the best small ball four you can have. And so that gives teams a lot of problems because if you try and go small, you're not going to beat the Lakers because they have one of the best, if not the best, small ball lineups in the league. And if you try and go big, they have guys like Andre Drummond, like Marc Gasol, that can, you know, get their hands dirty on the defensive end and be a presence in the paint, as well as Anthony Davis and LeBron James. LeBron's probably one of the best backside, weak side help defenders in the league. And Anthony Davis is obviously a defensive tank, so good luck with that. But that being said, that's why I feel like a series against the Lakers and the Nets is going to be so entertaining because you're gonna be seeing constant, like, it's gonna be a game of chess between Frank Vogel and Steve Nash and those two coaching staffs, because I doubt the Lakers are gonna come into it running Anthony Davis at the five. That's probably gonna be one of their big counters, and the Nets are gonna know that. Steve Nash is gonna know that, and so they're gonna have a counter to that. The way that, like, obviously the Lakers are a big team, and so sure, you can send Andre Drummond and Anthony Davis at our chest. Like, AD guard, like KD guarding AD is obviously a mismatch, so you can send him up our chest. Like, Lakers might get easy layups, but then we coming back on the offensive end of the court, and good luck having AD guard KD, running through pin downs, running through down screens, running around, like, guarding KD on the perimeter. Like, good luck with that. They're gonna have LaMarcus Aldridge five out on the perimeter, having Andre Drummond have to guard the three, so the paint's gonna be open. Good luck having Andre Drummond guard anyone on the perimeter. So I feel like it's gonna be good matchups, good counters between both coaching staff when it comes to the Lakers and the Nets. I think the Lakers are more equipped to handle the Nets counter than the Nets are to handle the Lakers counter. But then again, the Nets have more overall talent on their team, so it might not matter. The Nets might just outscore the Lakers tit for tat. And so that's why I think it could be a really, really, really good series. And I'm definitely looking forward to it. Just on the net side of things. Oh, also, Ben McLemore just went absolutely nuts in the second half. Man was 6 of 12 from the field, 5 of 10 from 3, had a 17 points, which was a bench high. I think it was like Ben McLemore's second or third game when the Lakers, he came out firing on all cylinders. And he's one of those guys that can get hot in a hurry, but he shouldn't be a regular contributor in the Lakers lineup when they're all healthy. And we'll see what happens. I doubt he does that in a finals matchup against the Lakers and the Nets. On the Nets side of things, KD, he was 8 of 17 from the field in 24 minutes. He had 8 turnovers, 22 points, 5 assists, 7 rebounds. Didn't play great. Jeff Green only had 6 points. Joe Harris only had 6 points. LaMarcus Aldridge, 5 of 8 from the field. He had 12 points. He did not attempt a single three. And Kyrie, in the 21 minutes he played, he was 6 of 11 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3, and had 18 points and 4 rebounds. No assists, though. Then off the bench, Blake Griffin was 0 for 3 from the field. He had 2 points, both of which being on free throws. He had 2 assists and 1 block. I'm going to need a little bit more play out of Blake Griffin, a little bit better play, more consistent play out of Blake Griffin. I know how talented he is. I'm just not really seeing that translate on the court as much as I would like. But I feel like it's a learning game. A learning process for him, being in that bench role, only playing a limited amount of minutes. He's gonna have to learn how to make those minutes count, whereas the situations he's used to coming from, he's used to playing 30 minutes a game and being able to make some mistakes and kind of make up for them later in the game. He's gonna have to learn how to make the most out of the minutes that he's playing, and I feel like that'll come with time. I can definitely see a Blake Griffin revenge game, or not a Blake Griffin revenge game, but like a signature Blake Griffin game coming in the playoffs where he might just drive a triple-double or something crazy like that. Bruce Brown played 27 minutes at 5 points. And Chris Chioza and Landry Shamet also played 27 and 23 minutes respectfully. And the Nets kind of just got mollywopped in this one, but that's okay. You know, we bounced back. Our next game was against the Timberwolves. It was actually postponed because of the loss of or the untimely, unfair, unjustified, I guess, loss of Dante Wright. I just want to send my condolences to his mother. He had a 1.5-year-old son, and my condolences to the rest of his family. I'm a black man, and like I said previously on the pod, and like this always hits, things like this continue to happen, and it's so sad. It continues to hit home for me. Just a personal story, like when my mom got the news of Dante Wright, like she immediately called me. I came home. She just wanted to hug me. Like that's all she wanted to do was hug me, because that could have been me, you know. Like, and for her to see his mother, like he called his mother as he was passing away. Like, that's just incredibly sad. All because apparently the officer thought she was firing her taser, but was in fact firing her gun, which ended up killing him. She's resigned from being a police officer, but just I just feel like, how are we supposed to the people that we're supposed to trust to protect us? This officer was apparently in on duty for at least 25 years. Obviously, she should go through some type of training if you're on the job for 25 years. I'm sure she did. And so how are we supposed to trust these people that are supposed to protect us, supposed to keep us safe, to when you don't even know the difference between your gun and your taser? Like, what type of trust can I put in you if you don't know if that simple difference, which you would think you would know? You feel me? And so, just kind of my raw emotions on the topic. Another unjust killing of a black man, a black person, a person of color. It's a super sad situation. And like I said, I wish the best. I put Dante Wright's mother, his son, his entire family in my prayers. And I just hope, like, even when you think about for his son, like, he's a 1.5 years old. Like, I don't remember anything from when I was 1.5 years old. So his son is gonna have to grow up without a father, and like, because someone didn't know the difference between their taser and their gun. Like, that's just crazy to me. And it's just like, I can't keep talking about it because it's so infuriating. And that's why the Nets versus Timberwolves got postponed. They did end up playing the game, though, and the Nets kind of just ran away with things. Chris Chioza and Nick Claxton entered the starting lineup because the Nets were highly undermanned. They were missing James Harden, Kyrie, and LaMarcus Aldridge all out. So Chris Chioza and Nick Claxton were starting. They're the 17th and 18th different players to appear in the starting five for the Nets in just 54 games. They've used 32 different combinations. So that's crazy when you really think about it. In 54 of the Nets games, they have used 32 different starting lineup combinations. Like, that's just a testament. And they've had an incredible season. So one, that's a testament to the coaching staff. That's a testament to all the guys on the roster just staying ready and being able to come in at a moment's notice and kind of leave their mark on the game. And just kind of a testament to how ready and how, you know, 10 toes down this Nets team is, which is why they could win a championship. Karl Anthony Towns didn't play for the Timberwolves because it was the 1 year anniversary of his mother's death due to COVID-19. So once again, condolences to Kat and his family. I 100% do not blame him for not playing on this day. One, the Timberwolves don't really have anything to play for, and even if they did, Kat has been one of the players, or not even one of the players, but one of the celebrities or someone with a platform who's been struck the most by COVID-19. And so him not playing on the anniversary, I don't even want to say anniversary, because typically when you say anniversary, it kind of like implies that it's like good things. Like, usually when someone's wedding anniversary or their like relationship anniversary, but like just the 1 year, you know, it's been 1 year since Kat's mom's passed, and you know, he decided to sit this game out and spend time with his family, which is completely understandable. The Nets jumped ahead by 23 points in the second quarter, and they just literally never looked back. Like, it was just raps from the beginning. They came out with some fire. KD had the best game that he's had in a very long time. He had 31 points in 27 minutes. It's very clear that this man is the second best, if not the best player on the planet. Easily a top three basketball player on the planet, and games like this show you why. He continues to show you why. He was a plus 32, 11 for 15 from the field, 4 of 6 from 3, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. He's just flat out unguardable. There's not a soul on the planet that can limit KD. Jeff Green, 7 points in 19 minutes. Nick Claxton, 6 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, no turnovers, 3 of 4 from the field. Played very, very well. Joe Harris was on fire tonight. 5 of 8 from 3, 8 of 12 from the field in a team-high 29 minutes. No one on the Nets team played 30 minutes, which is a testament to how ready their guys are. And Joe Harris had 23 points. And then Chris Chioza, like I said, came into the starting lineup. He had no turnovers. He was a plus 17. He only had 4 points, but he impacted the game in other ways. He had a block. He had 5 assists, 2 rebounds. Like I said, no turnovers, no fouls. He was just doing a lot of things right on the court, even though his shot wasn't particularly falling that night. Blake Griffin, another rough one from him. He played 24 minutes. He was 0 of 6 from the field, 0 of 4 from 3. He had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, negative 5. Plus minus. And like I said before, Blake's just gonna have to kind of ease into it and learn how to make the most of his minutes. I think better days are ahead for Blake. I see a lot of people calling him trash. Oh, the Nets, Blake Griffin was such a good signing, right? Being sarcastic. I think Blake Griffin's gonna turn it around. He's too talented not to at the end of the day, and I'm always gonna bet on talent. And Blake Griffin, I think better days are ahead for him for sure. Elise Johnson just got that actual multi-year contract, so shout out to him. He had 2 points. Reggie Perry, he was scoreless in 3 minutes. He was 0 of 2 from the field. And then Bruce Brown, our guy off the bench, he had 9 and 12 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. a plus 22. He was 0-2 from the field, but 4-15 from you know, he was 0-2 from three, but 4-15 from the field. He took the second most, and actually he tied KD for most shots taken on the entire team. So shout out to Bruce Brown letting that thing fly. I feel it. DeAndre Jordan played 21 minutes, so him and Nick Claxton played 21 minutes each. DeAndre Jordan was 5 of 5 from the field. He had 13 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and he also had 2 personal fouls and a block as well. So shout out to DeAndre Jordan. TLC, 24 minutes, 4 of 11 from the field, 9 points, 6 rebounds. TLC was 1 for 5 from 3. The man, say what you want about the man, he might have missed that wide open layup to ice the game about a month and a half, 2 months ago. But he lets that thing fly. So shout out to TLC and the Landry Shamet came off the bench. He was on fire. 19 points off the bench, which was the third leading scorer on the team in 26 minutes. 7 of 12 from the field. 5 of 9 from 3. The Nets also played really good defense. Even though the Timberwolves were without Cat, they still had Anthony Edwards, D'Lo, D'Angelo Russell. Shout out to D'Lo, my favorite player, Nets legend, Brooklyn legend. D'Lo had 20 points on 5 of 12. He played 20 minutes. He had 15 points on 5 of 12 shooting. He's still coming off the bench for the Timberwolves as he's kind of working his way back from an injury. And then Anthony Edwards, who most people are projecting to be Rookie of the Year, depending on whether or not LaMelo comes back. He had a team-high 27 points, but it was pretty inefficient. 33 minutes, 8 of 22, 2 of 11 from the field. A lot of his points came at the line. He was 9 of 22 from the free throw line, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, and a turnover as well. He was a negative 39, which was the lowest on the entire Timberwolves team. He doesn't play much defense, and he's inefficient on offense at this point. And we limited the Timberwolves to under 100 points. So that's a win in both the win column and outside of it, because whenever you can limit a team to under 100 points, you can be happy whether they had their best player or not. I do not care. I'm chalking that up as a W. And so, yeah, just kind of going ahead and looking at the rest of the Nets schedule. They don't have too hard of a schedule upcoming as we kind of end out the season. They play the 76ers, which is going to be a tough one for them. It's kind of basically the two best teams in the East right now. When you look at the standings, the 76ers are the one seed. Well, they're tied with the Nets for the one seed. Both teams are 37-17, which is crazy. The game itself is at the 76ers, so just a little bit of insight into that. Home, the 76ers are 20-5. The 76ers are always such a better home team than they are on the road. Like, it's crazy. At home, they're 20-5. On the road, they're 17-12. So they're very susceptible on the road and very successful at home. And like I said, this is going to be a road game for the Nets. The Nets are actually 15-10 away. So I could see the 76ers taking this one, but it's a very important game in terms of standings. And you know the 76ers want that home court advantage all throughout the playoffs. So they're going to be gunning for this one. And so should the Nets, honestly. After the 76ers matchup, they play the Hornets, which should be a win. They play the Heat, which will also be a really good matchup. And then they play the Pelicans, the Raptors, the Celtics, which could be also an important matchup. The Suns, which should be a great matchup. The Raptors and the Pacers, the Blazers. Like, the Nets have got a couple of nice little matchups coming up here, but then they end out the season Bulls, Spurs, Bulls, Cavs. Those are their last four games, so they should be able to win all four of those games, hopefully just win out, and hopefully the 76ers will be struggling so we can get that one seed. The game before that is a game against the Nuggets, who unfortunately just lost Jamal Murray for the rest of the season with a torn ACL. And so yeah, they're going to be adjusting that. The Nuggets might be reeling by then, and the Nets might be able to win that, but like I said, that's going to be an important game for the Nuggets as they try and solidify their spot in the playoffs. And yeah, that's kind of going to do it for this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed. I know it was a shorter one, but got to get my boy Hunter on here. It's so weird not going back and forth with someone, but I hope you guys enjoyed listening to just me. If you enjoyed listening to just me, I have my own podcast. It's called the Run It Up Podcast. If you guys haven't listened, you can find it on Spotify. You can find it on Apple Podcasts as well. Give it a listen. Leave that rating and review if you rock with it. If not, I understand anyway. You can follow me on Twitter at Najee Adams _. The pod on Twitter is at HoopBallNets. Hunter is at Hunter_JKR on Twitter. Even though he wasn't on the pod, I still got to get my boy with that plug. And before we get up out of here, let me give a huge, huge shout out to our guys over at Manscaped. You know, there's so much to say about Manscaped. I hope you guys enjoyed the one from last time, but Hunter's not here for me. So I'm going to have to do this thing all by my lonesome. And so kind of getting into it, I have an important question to ask you, and I need your honest answer. I know I can't hear you, but answer in your head for me. Is there anything better than the fresh mowed grass at the ballpark on opening day of MLB? I don't think there is, to be honest. That's my answer. Like I said, answer in your head. Let me know on Twitter. Leave it in the iTunes reviews. I don't know. How about freshly groomed balls? Our sponsors at Manscaped, the global leader in below the waist grooming, by the way, are here to help you strike out your bush for good. It's a whole new balls game, folks, and Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement. Get 20% off plus free shipping with code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. You can get the Lawnmower 3.0. They also have the Perfect Package 3.0, which will also come with Crop Reviver and Crop Preserver, which is a ball deodorant and ball toner. And take it from me, they smell incredible. That's all I'm going to say. They have my seal of approval. So if that means anything to you, go cop the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. You get 20% off and free shipping with code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. Baseball's back. Don't let your pubes get out of whack. I got bars over here. And with that, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the Hoopball Nets podcast. Next time, it'll be me and Hunter on here. We'll catch you guys later.
This has been a HoopBALL presentation.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.